There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. I hear him chat to the noise, move too quick, can't stop for the talking. I hear him chat with the boys, man so tough, but man's keep walking.
G'day ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Cancer Man Hour podcast. Today, we are split up. I'm alone here in the studio. Everyone's coming down with the Roan. The Roan is back, it's returned, and all I can say is, fuck! I'm recording this a few days out from my wedding, so Lordy has kindly said, you know, we're not going to risk it. He's a bit crook, so he said, I'm not going to risk it. Bluey has said the same thing, but Bluey will be joining us via Zoom. We hate our Zoom calls, but they're still good. Some of the best episodes have been through Zoom with the comfort of Bluey's own home. He really comes into his own when he's hiding in the house. So it is all happening, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe that the Rona has returned? It's something that I didn't think would happen to this extent. But and I want to talk about it more in the sealed section of the podcast on Patreon. After an hour, if you don't know, we go straight to Patreon where we can talk about things that YouTube won't let us talk about. But when people start freaking out about the Rona, that's when people start getting tested more and cases inevitably go up. And that's what's happening right now. But with our wedding on the weekend, my uncle's tested positive and he's freaking out, pulling out. It's just all happening. But we'll get to that. There's other things we're going to talk about as well, obviously. But we'll talk about the COVID stuff, the things we can't really talk about. We'll talk about that in the sealed section. And I tell you what, and we'll talk about some other stuff in the sealed section. It's really worth it. And I want to give a big shout out to, we hit 1,000 Patreons the other day. So a big shout out to you absolute fucking legends. 1,000 at the moment, 1,050 of you. Now, if you go to the Patreon, you'll see that you can join for $1, but there's only 200 spots left for $1, and then the price will go up. The first 1,000 people to join that will be able to join for $1, and that is for life, or as long as you're fucking interested in me, and then the price will go up accordingly. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't joined the Patreon, do it now. The link is in the description of this, whether it's on iTunes, Spotify, or YouTube, or just search Isaac Butterfield on Patreon. I am waiting for Bluey. I don't know where the fuck he is. So I tell you what, through the magic of podcasts, here's Josh Bluey Nielsen. Bluey Nielsen. Hey, bro.
Hey, mate. Sorry I'm not there.
Well, I've been explaining to the people what's happening. I'm in a studio by myself, hence the lack of camera angles. Although we do have a camera angle through the computer and through the camera. So if you want to, if you're watching this, then congratulations, mate. I want to talk about in the sealed section of today's podcast about the Rona and what's happening. But give the people a bit of a quick rundown of your situation, ATM.
Yeah. So what time was it? About 1-2 o'clock this afternoon. Jesse, my beautiful partner, Jesse.
Who I still haven't met.
Well, you were going to meet. You may not get to meet her yet.
She's not real, mate. She doesn't exist. This is hilarious. I've never met her I've known you for a long time. Never met her. Comes to the day of my wedding. The day of my daughter's wedding. And you pull a Swiftie on me.
She's got COVID.
Yeah, sure she does.
She somehow, so when you and I both, when did you and I catch it? That was back in, I can't even remember.
January, February?
Yeah, it was. You're right. Yeah, it was just after the Christmas break. So when I went down with it, I rang her and said, look, what do you want to do? I can pack you a bag and you can go and crash at your mum's or whatever. And she said, no, fuck it. I'll just come home and get it over with now. She came home, managed to not get it. The whole week of isolation, didn't test positive once. Didn't catch it. So fast forward to fucking right now and she's got it. She was sick. We were away at a wedding on the weekend. Came back on Sunday. Jesse was pretty ordinary Monday and Tuesday. Today's Wednesday when we're recording this, and she's done a couple of rat tests and gone, oh fuck, I've got COVID. So she rang me while I was at work today. My first concern was the podcast.
good. I'm glad.
I was like, oh fuck, and that was the only reason she rang me. She goes, look, I wouldn't have bothered ringing you or telling you, but I know you, one, doing the podcast, the Savo, and two, Isaac and Claire are getting married this weekend, so this could fuck everything up. So I said, righto. So I rang you, and here we are. We're doing it via Zoom, unfortunately.
Yeah, and Lordy said he's got a bit of a fever going himself. So
Lordy's got chlamydia.
That's true. The huge gonorrhea, man. But yeah, I said to Claire the Savo, listen, for the next 2 days, let's not go to the gym. She's got to go and get like tans and stuff. So we're just gonna fucking train at home, I guess. And
I
just
thought
avoid
we were past
people.
This. I thought we were past this.
All right. Well, let's talk about it in the sealed section. I wanna fucking have a good like carry on. All right.
Tee off,
mate.
Like, actually, what's reminded me. Should I flick a little stopwatch on for when we get to an hour? Just because Lordy's not here to fucking wipe our asses today.
Well, I've got a bit of a stopwatch next to me. It's been about 5 minutes so far. I did a bit of talking at the start, so
you're all over it.
We should be sweet, but
I don't want anyone getting any free content now.
No,
after that.
Fuck. Oh, so this is what this is how I started the podcast episode. We hit 1,000 Patreons the other day. So
congratulations to us and the people of Patreon. Thank you very much.
Absolute legends. You keep the podcast alive and you help employ people, which is very, very good of you too. So good fucking on you guys. Now, let's talk the biggest topic of the week by far. Now, you didn't even know about this, which I thought was absolutely insane. Like, I sent this to you and you're like, oh, what are you talking about?
Oh, is this Mr. Living La Vida Loca?
He bangs. Oh, baby. His cousins, apparently, or nephews. Ricky Martin has been accused of incest. Now, I will pull this story up as he pulled his nephew off. Ricky Martin served with restraining orders. So what do you know? What do you think when you think Ricky Martin? I guess that's the first question.
I think gay Latin flair. That's what I think.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Now, let's go to the best news provider in Australia, Pedestrian News.
Of course, reputable source.
Ricky Martin accused of incest and domestic violence during relationship with his nephew. Excuse me. Ricky Martin's nephew, 21-year-old Dennis.
Dennis is not that's not your classic Latin American name, is it?
I don't think it is. Oh, Dennis Yadiel Sanchez.
That's better. That's better.
What happened at the start there? Has accused his uncle of incest and domestic violence. Earlier this month, it was reported that an anonymous individual had filed a restraining order against Ricky Martin, over a alleged domestic violence incident. Per Spanish news outlet Marca, the identity of the alleged victim was revealed by Eric Martin, who had voiced his support for his brother. Sanchez is the son of Ricky's stepsister. Okay.
So it's not by blood.
It's not blood.
Play on. Six to go.
Have we cracked the case?
What's
Have
the
we
issue?
Just cracked the case? Well, that is a good... So they're not.
No, I'm joking. I'm obviously joking.
Well, are you? Because I thought that that was going to be just like... I don't want to put this news out there to the world and have people listening to this in their cars or at the gym right now think it's okay to fuck their, you know, stepsisters.
I was going to say, because there could be people listening to this podcast who are currently fucking their stepsisters that are just now learning that it's not okay.
I'll go one step further and say there definitely is people listening to this podcast right now that is currently fucking their stepsisters' kids.
I think that's a pretty safe bet. I think that's pretty safe.
So he claims that he and Martin have had a recently exited. I thought it said excited. A 7-month relationship. So they were in a relationship for 7 months. Per the Latin Post, his restraining order filed against Martin prohibits him from approaching, harassing, intimidating, or threatening Sanchez. It also claims that Martin loitered around his nephew's residence, causing him to fear for his safety. Ricky Martin categorically denies the claims made against him.
That's pretty wild. It's been a good week for those kind of accusations, hasn't it? Because Didn't one also come out about Elon Musk's dad?
Oh, yeah. What was that?
Was it Elon Musk's dad has a kid with his stepdaughter? Or it was something, again, again, that's a very salacious accusation. I'm going to just quickly Google that before we put it out there, because there may be people currently listening that have kids with their stepdaughters.
Oh, I'll go one step further. I guarantee you there are people listening that have kids with their stepdaughters.
And good on you. And you know what? That's only fucked if you're not a member of the Patreon. I condone it if you're paying your dollar a month. But if
you're a part of the Patreon, you know, play on.
You have kids with whoever you want.
Yeah, you just do it, baby. You know, that's the play on rule. The play on rule is if you're a member of the Patreon. Anyway,
six to go.
Just give
me 2 seconds. I'll just.
Yeah,
Google
you're right,
this.
Mate. We're not doing anything.
Errol Musk. Errol Musk.
Oh, Errol.
Yeah, reveals he has a second child with his stepdaughter. Second child. He's got two.
Stepdaughter. So okay, how? So that means that his wife. No. He married a woman and then married the daughter of that woman as well.
Yeah, so not by blood. Here we go. Elon Musk's father, this is from the NZ Herald.
Oh, .co.nz. Mate, we're really going to the best news providers here.
Only the best here at Cancel Me Now. Elon Musk's father has revealed that he has a, in inverted commas, secret. Yeah, I'd imagine it would be pretty fucking secret. Secret second child with his 35-year-old stepdaughter. Errol Musk, 76, who is an engineer in South Africa, had a child, Elliot Rush, now 5, with Yana, not even going to try and pronounce her surname, Beezenhout. And she is the daughter of Errol's second wife. So not Elon's mum, I'm guessing.
That's actually a German sex move, the old Beezenhout.
It sounds like good fun, whatever it is.
Give us the Beezenhout. So, bend over and give us the Beezenhout.
Good week for incest, anyway.
Yeah, a big week for incest. And I'm really, really proud of everyone who's just in relationships that are, in fact, perhaps incestual. Like, big shout out to, what's old mate's name, who was the Hollywood director?
Weinstein.
No.
Spielberg? Woody
Allen. No. Yes, yeah. Woody Allen.
Yeah.
And did you just throw Spielberg under the bus?
Well,
poor Spielberg.
I don't know what he likes, mate.
Spielberg's copped it. He's been absolute. This is an absolute. It's a disgrace that you've gone hard after. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to look up, because I know this is wrong. Spielberg is not into incest. I'm going to write Steven Spielberg. I don't know how to spell his last name. And then I'm going to write incest. Let's see what comes up.
Can the title, will we get pulled off YouTube if the title of this podcast is Good Week for Incest? I think that's a great title.
I think we should call it A Good Week for Incest. Let's do that.
And just this will be the thumbnails, like.
Okay. So this is an article from the Washington Examiner. Steven Spielberg's daughter says porn is empowering. Is she right? So there is a chance that Spielberg has seen his daughter do porn. There is a chance. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying that always is a chance.
Maybe in the Spielberg house, sort of like, you know, you and Clary might sit down and have a bit of maths or something on in the background while you eat dinner. Maybe the Spielbergs are just watching a bit of BBW, Brazzers compilations while they eat dinner.
I think, you know, a lot of people like to, you know, respect what their kids are doing. Maybe I know my parents occasionally sit down and watch one of my videos. And after they wipe the tears away because of all the shame, they might say, oh, that was okay. But I don't know if Steven Spielberg is sitting down, you know, putting his daughter's porn on in the background.
She's not a porn star, is she?
Yeah, I think she is.
No, she might just be saying that porn's empowering.
But why would she? Well, this is probably an important point here, Josh.
Yeah, you can't just come to the conclusion that she's a porn star. I don't think she's a porn star. She may be.
I think we go to a lot of conclusions on this show, to be honest.
How's we've done more research in the first 5 minutes of this podcast, more fact-checking and research than we have the entire existence of this show?
Mate, listen. Steven Spielberg's daughter, Michaela, says doing porn is a healing journey.
Oh, so she is a porn star?
She's doing porn and healing. What are you healing? Your axe wound. She's a Marvin Gaye song come to life. Michaela Spielberg is speaking about appearing in porn, saying her work in the sex industry has been healing for her. What in the world do you need to heal from? Hang on. This is the 24-year-old adopted daughter. Oh, no. So he could have a little look.
Yeah, well, that seems to be the trend, doesn't it?
Legendary filmmaker Steven Spielberg, 73, I don't know why that's important, and his actress wife, Kate Capshaw, 66, made headlines in February when she was jailed for domestic abuse. Who was jailed? Old Love was jailed.
Did you finish year nine?
Well, it's just, there's a lot going on. Oh, so Steven Spielberg's daughter's been jailed for a clash with then fiance and pro dart player Chuck Pucknow, who's now 27 years older than her.
This sounds like made up.
What a story. Did fucking, what's old mate's name that wrote The Lord of the Rings? Bloody L. Ron Hubbard. Did L. Ron Hubbard write this? What a story.
Fuck, there's a bit going on. As we said, mate, great week for incest.
A great week for incest, I tell you what. And we have a new addition to the studio here. I know you're not here, but are you familiar with the show fucking Midsummer Murders?
No, fuck. Do you think I am, Isaac?
Well, I am, and Dixon got me onto it many moons ago. And there's a guy who is the star of that show. His name is John Nettles, okay?
Crap name.
John is about 70 years old now, and he's a bit of a heartthrob from back in the day. My gran thinks he's very nice. We thought it would be hilarious to buy some memorabilia of the English actor John Nettles, and we have this.
Jesus Christ. Is that signed?
It says, best wishes, John Nettles.
Oh, I don't need to know. Who he is or what character he is, that's awesome.
Without a doubt, one of the best purchases I've ever made. $120, $30 or something like that. And it got here from England within like 4 days.
Yeah, it's almost like no one's buying them and they're desperate to ship them out.
Mate, it's a part of the studio now, so you can like it or lump it.
I can't wait to see it. I was really looking forward to being in the studio at the Savo for two reasons. Obviously, love the podcast is like the highlight of my week. But secondly, there is a big cold case of Steel Cities there.
So, well, there is, mate. There's a lot of beers. There's talk of my younger brother, Darcy, who also wants to join us on the podcast one day. He's a good laugh. It should be good. He messaged me this morning and he said, mate, you got some beers at your house, because he's going to come over on the day of the wedding. And he said, I saw some Steel Cities there the other day. So you might have to intervene with that. I think he's going to go for your beers.
I have to fight him for them.
So what I'm thinking now is, like, with the wedding so close, it's a bit of a – I'm freaking out a little bit.
It's a conundrum, Isaac.
Not to get married. Not no COVID stuff. Not even worry about that.
Are you getting cold feet?
No, feet are warm. But – it's such a big build-up. It's everyone say, oh, it's the biggest day of your life. It's her most important day. Far out, mate. Like, I was talking. It is. It's pressure. And you'll be asking this alleged girlfriend of yours, Jessie, to marry you at some point. It's a beautiful moment, popping the question. Gorgeous. There's tears and smiles. But then it dawns on you a day or two later, oh, fuck, I've got to fucking plan an enormous event for 100-plus people. Awful.
Yeah, I think I was just at a wedding on the weekend, and I think every wedding I've been to, the biggest thing I've noticed, the most obvious thing, is like the bride and groom, when you do finally get to see them, like sort of after the ceremony and at the reception when everyone's finally having a beer, everyone seems to say the same thing, and they're like, all right, we can relax now. Like, yeah. once the actual wedding's out of the way, it seems like a lot of pressure, a lot of build up, and like exactly what you're saying. And everyone seems to say the same thing. Everyone just goes, thank fuck that's over. Let's have a drink. Yes. Yeah. So I assume this weekend will be no different for you. The only thing I'd say is try and take the time to enjoy it, because you are spending, one, you spend so much time planning it. Two, it's a lot of money. And three, it's probably the only time all your friends and family are going to be in the same place together. Try and take the time to enjoy it. I know that's fucking easy for me to say. I'm just going to be sitting there drinking stubbies and calling you gay when you start crying. But try and take the time to enjoy the day, because it is going to be very special, and it will be easy, especially you and Clary fucking known to get anxious from time to time.
Oh, so Dixon's a mess. And she won't mind me revealing this. Her week has been filled with, she got her monthly lady things. She got a UTI. She's been sick. She's been, oh man, she's got everything this week. She's getting her nails done at the moment. But
there
were moments where she's just like, fuck, let's take the loss on the money and just fucking go and get married in Vegas.
Poor darling. Oh,
but no, it'll be fine. And there's a few things that I've put in place, being the fucking, the man of mystery that I am, where we're going to do like a first look.
Yeah.
Where we, I see her in a wedding dress. Rather than she walks down the aisle, we haven't seen each other all day. I'm not doing the whole, we don't see each other the morning of or anything like that type of stuff. Man, we do everything together. So we're just going to stay, keep the normal sort of routine and then go into it from there. And also, we've written vows, but we're going to do them to, in front of just each other rather than in front of everyone, where it's this. What?
That reminds me of, did you ever have, when you used to do public speaking at school, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if this ever happened at your school, but I remember this happening on more than one occasion at mine, where there was the kid who was like, everyone gets nervous they're doing public speaking, but there was the kid who was like, no, I cannot fucking do it.
Just shaking. Yeah.
This happened more than once. I don't know if it ever happened with you. They got the kid, they said, you can do it, but you don't have to face the class. So they They got the kid out the front of the class, but they were allowed to just turn their back to the class and pretty much read it to the chalkboard. This feels like what your vows are.
I'm happy with it, mate. I'm happy with it, because I don't need fucking all these blokes I used to play footy with and all this type of stuff listen to my lovey-dovey bullshit, all right? It's going to be beautiful. Dixon and I will have those moments to ourselves, and we'll have that chat and talk and speak to each other.
And no one can call you gay after it.
No, call me gay. I don't give a fuck. I'm happy to. I'll do whatever. I don't care. It's exciting. I'm excited about it. And it's not even about that. It's more about, it adds more pressure to the day, because you got to get this right. And that's what, I said this to Claire yesterday. I was like, do you want to practice, your basically your speech, your vows? And she said, oh, do you think I need to? I said, listen, I write shit every single week, constantly. I'm always writing stuff. So not to toot my own horn, I know if I'm writing something and it's going to make sense when I'm saying it. But I said, go for a walk, find somewhere sort of you're by yourself. And anyone can do this if they have to do something public speaking wise. And just deliver it. Deliver it, and if you're doing it for work or whatever, record it, go through, write it out. And that's the best way to find where you fucked up, where you're doing well, where you've nailed it, and where you need to improve. And I think that's what she will end up doing. But now that we're just doing it just to each other, like reading it to each other or talking to each other, we'll have like the film people there, so it'll be on camera and stuff.
Nice.
So you freaks can see it, but and we'd like to have that moment as well. So it's going to be beautiful, mate, and hopefully you will turn up.
Well, yeah. I mean, we'll probably discuss it more in the sealed section, but that's what you and I were talking about on the phone today. Fuck.
How's this? So you rang me. I was on the treadmill getting it done.
You sounded puffed. I thought you were either rooting or on the treadmill, but you sounded out of breath, whatever you were doing.
I was doing both. Well, I've been trying to do 3 days of cardio alongside my weight training, because I put on a bit of weight because I've been on the old turkesterone for a while.
You're juicing.
I'm juicing. I got the old ecdy steroids. Are we familiar? Have we spoken about turkesterone on the podcast?
I think, did we talk about it with Croaks last week?
I don't know. But what about what Croak said about the fucking doctor that came and said, you don't need to worry about fucking head knocks anymore. You'll be right. You look after yourselves. I've been thinking about that all week. I was just like, that's the most insane shit I've ever heard.
I think, I think there's probably, there's a little bit in it, but not as much as,
not
I think,
much.
I think it's unavoidable. If you're playing contact sport, like, you're not, like, you're getting concussed. Like, that's it.
You're going to get concussed. So turkesterone is an ecti steroid, which are steroid hormones commonly found in arthropods and insects, but can be also found in certain plant species. In plants, these groups of compounds are used to deter predators, while in insects, they help regulate key processes such as molting and metamorphosis, or so insects development.
You're trying not to get eaten, is what you're saying.
I'm trying not to get eaten. So apparently, turkesterone has positive effects on lipid and carbohydrate metabolism. It could be a very viable supplement to help you with weight maintenance and fat loss. In terms of your genetic ecti steroid, it appears that the growth promoting effects were due to a better. I don't think this makes any. It makes sense, but I don't need to talk about it. Apparently, it helps you put on more lean muscle as well.
And have you noticed that you put weight on?
So I've put on about 6 kilos.
That's fucking nice.
And I haven't changed my diet too much, except that I'm extremely hungry. And so several of the lifts that I do, I don't do squats because my lower back's fucked. I've been working on the strength of my hip flexors to try and combat that.
Nice.
But bench, so like, you know, I'm up to the fucking, the 48s on the old dumbbell bench press.
Holy shit. And the
40s with the shoulder press.
Fuck, that's heaps. So,
and that's up from, with the dumbbells, I think I was at like 38s or whatever. Like, so I'm seeing big improvements and weight going on, you know, in a response to that, lifting more, heavier, all that type of stuff. So a lot of people are saying that this particular supplement, turkesterone, is bullshit. A lot of people are saying it's the old what's the effect? What's it fucking called?
Placebo?
Placebo effect. But honestly, I feel great on it. Now, as far as negative side effects, there isn't many at all. Like, to the point where, you know, if you start a drug or you know, whether it's a pharmaceutical drug or whatever, a lot of people go to Reddit because a lot of people type in their anecdotal experiences. Even in Reddit, there are no negative side effects to turkesterone that I could find.
Reddit's got everything.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, everyone throws everything in there and I just could not find it. So a lot of people are talking shit about it, but I really think it's quite a good little steroid.
I did read that Ricky Martin was blaming some of his incestual urges on turkesterone. That's just Ricky's story, but that's what he's blaming the incest on. So,
yeah, well, that's actually how Steven Spielberg's daughter healed the most, was from taking turkesterone that was sold to her by Ricky Martin.
Everyone has their story.
Yeah, Woody Allen. He invented turkesterone.
What did Woody Allen do? He had like a super, like a, or did he marry a family member as well?
He married a family member. Who did?
A very young one too.
Imagine like the fucking the FBI or the CIA or someone looking at my search history this afternoon. Just like, he's really into incest and turkesterone. That's weird. Yeah.
This guy's dangerous. He's really strong and into incest. His family better look out.
So Woody Allen was married to Mia Farrow, but he had he started to develop romantic feelings for his adopted, Mia Farrow's adopted daughter, Soon Yi Previn. And then, so she was 21, allegedly, when they first slept together. But from what I know, I'm pretty sure there are a lot of photos of Woody Allen with this Soon Yi lady as like very young people.
Yeah.
Like, well, she is very young.
Yeah.
As far as you know, as far as when she was adopted and all this type of stuff. So I think the story goes that people were like, oh, dude, you know, she was pretty young when you met her. It's a little bit dodgy. And when I say a little bit, very dodgy.
Are you old enough?
That is a creepy song, by the way.
Fuck yeah.
That song by Dragon?
Yeah.
I I remember seeing that for the or hearing that for the first time and just thinking to myself, what the fuck? Like, if you don't know, there's a song by Dragon called Are You Old Enough? And the song is just, are you old enough? Ooh, ooh. Imagine if there was a Ricky Martin cover of that song.
Yeah. It'd be like, are we related enough? And the answer is yes.
I might go and play some Ricky Martin at the gym tomorrow. That should be good.
It's interesting, like, is incest actually illegal? Like, I know it's...
I'm not going to Google that because then it's just going to... I'm going to get arrested. What a series of questions to ask Google. Oh, Ricky Martin. What happened to Ricky Martin? What happened to fucking Spielberg? What happened to... Man.
Good luck explaining that one.
Incest is illegal.
Yeah, but with like non-blood relatives like the boys have been doing.
Mm, good question. I know that in Mount Gambier... Now, this is the big story from Mount Gambier. I was out there a number of months ago. And the big story in Mount Gambier is that a father and daughter slept together and had children. And they were, I think the father actually had to serve prison time.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
Yeah, it's not great. But, you know, incest is a big part of history. Like, look at the royal family. That is the most incestual as fuck. Like, you go back a couple hundred years.
Keeping the bloodline clean.
Yep, absolutely. And people are like, there's people who are disfigured and they've just got these crazy big fucking weird shit going on. They're ill.
That's nature's way of telling you not to do it, isn't it? I know. Yeah,
like, absolutely.
Poor buggers that are kids of incest usually come out, not the best.
No. But, you know, I think they sort of deserve it.
Well, yeah, I mean, they could have stopped it.
All right. Let's move off fucking incest, for Christ's sake.
I want to talk about it more. No, I'm just joking.
I had a few things I wanted to talk to you about. Did you listen to the Huberman, Andrew Huberman talk to Joe Rogan the other day?
I started it and with the, because I love Andrew Huberman and he has his own podcast called Huberman Lab, which is awesome because there's always he's always got really good hacks. There's always like little things you can do, whether it's like for better sleep or like just so you like generally like they're just well-being. He's like all about well-being. I love it. But I did flick the Rogan one on and they lost me in the first couple of minutes. I can't remember what they were talking about, but I tuned out. And, you know, like with Rogan, it's going to be 3 hours. So I was like, right, I need to commit to this and sit down and do it in one hit. So I didn't listen to it, no, but I do love Huberman.
So he's a big proponent of testosterone, but he was talking about when we talk about CTE, we're talking about head knocks before chronic traumatic encephalopathy, which is the disease that ravages the brain of people who continuously have concussions. And subconcussive injuries. He was talking about with the NFL, they some of these players donate their brains and they go through it and they sort of test it and, you know, try to come up with ways to prevent it. But he raised a very interesting question. Why don't we take the brains of school shooting people, like the people who commit school shootings, and have a look at what's going on there? Because what the topic they were talking about was, when you hear about a school shooter, they're always very similar. They're, you know, they're an outcast. They hang out by themselves. They're not sort of socially, they don't have social rewards happening in their brain on a daily basis. They don't get to hang out with people. Those type of things are often going on. So this is what leads them to such a traumatic event that they want to inflict on other people and other things, of course. But why don't we take and harvest their brain after they've died and have a look at the fucking thing? I think that's a really interesting way to look at it and something I haven't thought of.
Probably one reason I reckon that they don't harvest their brains is because it's full of lead.
That is probably an issue.
And normally once they're done shooting the school up, they pop a gun in their mouth and fucking finish the show.
Well, first you got to put the brain back together.
Maybe you could
send it over to Lego Masters or something. They could like put it all back together, turn it into a little race car, and then you could throw it through an MRI machine.
Mr. Huberman can have a look then. Yeah.
It is an
interesting point because, yeah, I mean, and of all people, the great Tim Dillon was given his spin on the most recent one in America, but he was sort of saying that they are a pretty recent phenomenon, the old school shootings, only in the last sort of, when was Columbine, maybe 20 years ago. That was like the first, the OG.
Was that 1997?
What was that? Yeah. What's that? 20? Are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all right. No, my thing's just gone weird. Gotcha. So what's that? What are we? Yeah. 20 years, 30 years. I don't know.
I'm just watching you freak out under pressure.
Under simple maths. And Tim Dillon was saying historically, it's a very recent event. And like, is it the result of what we've been doing to people for the last few generations in regards to like shit food, like advertising, like, you know, just like a culmination of like all the bad things. And like, we're producing these people that are capable of this stuff. Is it a symptom of like where society is? Are they just like incest? We don't know.
And why is it always guns? Because is this a popularity thing? Because they see Columbine and they see these guys get all this attention and that's why they do it. Or is it because this is the thing. Like, obviously there are kids who feel like this all over the world, but we don't see the big school shootings and that type of shit happening anywhere else. It just seems to be in America. But why don't we see big, like, you know, people running people over in like, you know, a mall or whatever, or big murders like that, or big events like that? We don't really see that. Why is it just seems to be in America? And people can blame guns all they want, but these people, I feel like, guns have a role to play in this, but the guns aren't the ones that are killing these people. It's the people that are killing the people, and they're just using the guns. I feel like these people are so, or the people who commit the murders are so, they are just, I don't know what's happening. Their psyche is devastated by all the negative things that's happened to them, that they would find a way to kill people in any way.
Yeah, but it's easier, isn't it, when you can, like, you can buy a semi-automatic weapon when you're 18. It's easier than, like, you know, driving a car into, you know, it's probably an easier way to. And I think, like, you're 100% right, it's probably about recognition for a lot of them. Like, it's about, you know, they're people who have generally never had anything. They've always, like, sucked and been on their own and whatever. And then this is a way that they can get recognition. Which is scary. But we've seen it fucking how many times. Like, it's wild.
Because we've never had one in Australia. There's never been a school shooting there. What do you, and we all knew kids that we thought would do a school shooting at some point.
There's two of them on this podcast.
I remember some kids that I went to school with, and I bullied some people, and I'm not proud of that. I shouldn't have. And in retrospect, you look at that in hindsight, and you go, "Oh, that was fucking shit house." But as a kid, you go, you know, whatever.
You're just getting a laugh, aren't you?
Well, also you're trying to survive. Yeah, because schools are full on environment. But there were kids that, you know, I saw that I thought, fuck, I was on someone's kill list. Like, there was this dude that had a kill list that he wanted.
I'm sure you're on plenty of people's kill list now, mate. This is
what about there was some fucking, what's his name? He plays for the Eels, Mitch Moses, I think.
Yeah, what did he get death threats for?
He got a death threat, I don't know, probably for missing a goal and fucking someone's multi or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But they were like, oh, we needed to be escorted out of the ground by fucking you pussy. I get that shit all the time. All the time.
You don't leave the house, though.
Well, when I have had it on the road, we're up at Coffs Harbour. Did I tell you this?
No.
When we were in Coffs Harbour? So I did a show, and there's some jokes in the show that some people didn't like. They liked everything else, but this was about their group, and they didn't like it. So they leave the show. They cut sick. They're filthy. And they go down, and they call all their friends who happened all to be bikies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So they call the bikies, and the bikies start turning up. And while I'm catching up with a few mates who are in Coffs for the night and having a chat and just talking, and we start seeing all these like 1%ers start walking past, and I'm like, oh, fuck, what's going on here? And one guy comes over to me, starts talking to me, and his missus is going off ahead. And I'm saying, mate, it's not, you know, I'm not being serious. These are jokes. They're just silly, you know, they're just silly ideas. They're not real, bros. Like, chill out. And he goes, yeah, like, you know, quite aggressive. And then my mates are sort of, only one of them was trying to be aggressive backwards. A lot of them, the other blokes just fucking, you know, just fucking
pussed out. What are we doing here?
Yeah, they were just no, they were pussing out. One of them actually was left because he didn't want the he's a guy with a bit of a following. He didn't want the Daily Mail to find out that he was involved in an incident, so he just left me to die, which
thanks,
was interesting.
Mate.
Yeah, thanks, bruz. Anyway, solid mate. And so they keep turning up and keep turning up and walking around and I'm like, fuck, this is not good. So Claire's then arguing with the other lady because she's like, you're a fucking pig, Butterfield, all this type of stuff. And Dixon's like, fuck off. She's blowing up. Oh, what did she say? She goes, fucking get some teeth, you gappy, whatever she fucking said. She had
holy
a mad crack. It was hilarious. So it was on. And she tells me later on, she goes, I didn't know what to do. There was people everywhere. I grabbed a bottle just in case I needed to glass someone. I said, no.
Clary, no.
Do not glass someone. Jesus. So we then send one of the boys over, tour manager Kai, who's a jiu-jitsu blue belt. And he was like, oh, fuck, all I'm going to be able to do is just pull guard on these 40 people. There's not much he can do. And so we go over to the security, and the security are all old dudes. And they go, this is at a pub. They go, what do you want us to do? There's too many of them. I was
your
like,
job,
oh, fuck.
Hunt.
So I was like, you got to get me out of here, mate. So they sneak me out the back door, and it was all it all turned out okay. But, man, it's a bit scary. But, I didn't call the fucking police, Mitch Moses, you big pussy.
That sounds awful.
It wasn't good. I thought I was going to get fucking rottled. Did you see that video of the young bloke getting stabbed the other week up in Brisbane?
It went around the group chat as I often do, and I knew what it was straight away. I hate watching it. Like, I don't know if I'm probably a pussy, but I just don't like, you know, that those videos always do the rounds. It's like someone getting king eat or someone getting stabbed, and I don't watch them. And I knew as soon as that one came in, I was like, I'm not watching this.
For those of you who don't know, a young guy got killed. Stabbed in the neck and killed up in a train station in the middle of the night, I think it was, up in Fairfield or something like that.
Was it Brisbane or Queensland?
It was Brisbane. It was up in Brisbane. I can't remember the suburb exactly, but Fairfield comes to mind. Maybe it's not that. Not sure. But the video is, you know, two groups of men confronting each other. And I just got sent it on Twitter. I didn't know what happened. So I was just watching it. I was like, fuck. So these two groups come together. And they start arguing. One of them's got a knife, and they're all sort of shaping up to each other, you know. And this is the issue. Like, things can go south very fucking quickly.
Fuck yeah,
very quickly. And we've all been out on the town, and you know, dudes get aggressive real quick. You know, there's particular people out there you just got to be careful of because like they'll just kick off. And there's a bit of a back and forth with these guys. Everyone's arcing up. And then a big fella comes into the fray, walks towards the guy with a knife, and the guy with the knife swings at him, misses, still walks forward, swings again, and collects him in the neck, pulls it out, and old mate grab, like sort of, like I imagine for him, time stood still. Nothing happens for like 2 or 3 seconds. He grabs his neck, and then blood just starts going everywhere like you've never seen before, like a horror movie. And it was I watched it at the gym in between sets, and it threw me. Really threw me. So he's spurting out blood for what must have been 10 seconds. Then he collapses, dead.
Fuck.
And that was it.
Glad I didn't watch it.
So his life over, family lives ruined, and this other bloke, for what?
Yeah.
For what?
For a fight.
For a fight over probably some fucking suburb or something stupid like that.
Yeah,
it's
rubbish.
It did me head in. I was just like, I tweeted it. I said, don't be a dumb cunt and take a fucking knife out with you.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Well, didn't they? There was big dramas at the Sydney Easter show this year because there was kids putting around with knives. I think it's just what they do. Like, yeah, it's fucked. You know, we're talking the other week about kids are just getting dumber. That's an example of it.
Yeah. And this is the kid who died was 22.
Yeah, that's fucked.
And I think the kid who killed him was 18 or something. Like, crazy. Like, this is, like, you know, this happens to people in the prime of their lives and they're just dead. It's fucking madness. It's
senseless.
Man. Like,
imagine if you worked at a hospital, you'd see, like, if you worked in the emergency department of a hospital, you'd probably see, like, 10 of them a week.
Mm. Just people getting stabbed. And this is the big thing in, I think there was more murders in London in 2019 or something like that with knives than there was gunshot murders in New York City.
Yeah, they love their knife crime in the UK. Really? Yeah.
Well, because people, it's the same with the guns. People want to have a weapon on them.
Yeah. I got threatened with a box cutter at a pub I worked at.
Really?
Yeah, I cut a bloke off. He was fucking destroyed. He was obviously on some I think he was on like cocaine and sleeping tablets and 100 pints of beer as well. And he like couldn't walk. I was like, mate, no more. I'm sorry.
And then next thing
he's waving a box cutter at me. I was like, fuck. I quit after we managed to get him out. All good. And then I was like, fuck this. I quit.
Man, it's fair. It's very fair. It's very fair. I'm just trying to look up the stats for knife crime in Australia, but. Man, the people, particularly working in pubs, and I'm sure there's people listening to this who work in pubs, it is a dangerous life. Like, you're dealing with volatile people.
Pub and where you are. But, yeah, like, people, like, fuck, people are just idiots, let alone when they're full of piss.
And they just kick off. Yeah, I think I've told you this story, but I had this bloke who just got out of prison for murder come to the Gunya where I was working. And apparently he loved blokes, like he just loved young blokes. And I was like 19 at the time. I was supposed to be the security guard and the glassy and everything, right? And he just loved me, kept coming up to me. And then my boss, Heathrow, told me, he goes, mate, he loves young blokes, watch out. And I just felt really creeped out. And I imagine that's what girls feel like when, you know, we're around.
Yeah.
Anyway, he gets kicked out. I said, I'm not kicking him out because he's a psycho. Got done for murder, all that type of stuff. He gets kicked out by the big boss, all this type of stuff. He gets in the car, blind drunk, zooms out of the car park with a big fucking, skiddies and all that type of shit, a big burnout. And he gets arrested that night with a sawn-off shotgun in his car, a pistol, knives, and his house was wired with explosives. And I quit after that because I was just like, this is too much, man. This is too much. You don't know who you're dealing with.
Nah, that's the, there's some fucking lunatics out there. Fucking scary world, Isaac. That's why you got to stay inside.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Stay inside. This, oh God, it's not looking good for Bluey.
I've had this for like 3 weeks.
So have I. I've been coughing and spluttering for weeks.
I felt fine. I had one day like 3 weeks ago at the start of it where I felt a bit off. I have not felt bad at all, but I can't shake this fucking cough. It's like a smoker's cough, and I haven't been smoking, and I've been off the dart.
Yeah, that 10 year of smoking wouldn't have helped though.
Fuck you.
I want to ask, and I thought about this today on the treadmill while I was getting fucking ripped. When you were a single man,
yes.
You walked into the nightclubs, did you have a bit of a game plan to try and meet chicks?
Fuck. Nah, not really. Used to lie a fair bit.
Yep, me too, absolutely. What was there a go-to lie? I've said this on the podcast before, but I used to tell girls that I was filming Game of Thrones and I'd talk in an Irish accent.
Yeah.
Or a Scottish accent.
That's bold though, because you can get found out. I remember once tossing up that I was a firefighter, because that's just
that's
just like.
I like that.
The great cliche, I don't look like a firefighter.
I could believe you're a firefighter.
But I remember lying, because I was a fucking glassy at a pub at the time. So I was like, that's not very impressive. I need to say I'm a firefighter. Never really any game plan. Like, you just sort of spray and pray. Like, just buy a ticket to try and win the raffle, I suppose.
Were you just in there having fun, or was it more about picking up for you?
I fucking girl. Generally, mate, when I was going out, girls, women are the last thing on my mind. Like, if I'm with my mates and I'm getting high and getting drunk, I'm not interested in women, and they're not interested in me. But every now and then, you'd drag something home. But yeah, no, I was never a prolific shagger by any stretch of the imagination.
And this is the great thing. Like, it's hard to meet girls out and about, mate. This is why it's great to have a stepsister or a stepmother that you can go home and make sweet love to. This is great. This is what we've learned today on the episode.
It is hard to meet girls when you look like what you do. I'm sure there's some handsome kids out there that aren't saying that. But yeah, no, that is the nice thing about when one of your parents remarries and they've already got a kid. Yeah.
How good. But yeah, it's tough out there for blokes. Not ugly blokes. I wouldn't say we're ugly blokes, but we're regular men.
Yeah, and I wonder what it's like post-pandemic. Because, like, I suppose, and I mean, even we're in the era now of, like, Tinder and phones, and got long gone are the days when you'd probably just approach a woman at a bar and go, what's up, baby? Like,
yeah,
I'd say, like, yeah, I don't know. It probably seems a bit forward now. Like, women probably used to, you'd be sitting there swiping away on Tinder before you'd go and say good day to someone. I don't know. We've been out of the game a long time, Isaac.
We have.
It's hard to say.
We have been out of the game for a long time. It's been, you know, the better part of a decade for me.
How long have you and Claire been together for?
Well, almost a decade.
Fuck.
What? 8 years. But you and this alleged Jesse have been like 3 years, right?
We'll be four in January. Yeah, three and a half, four next January.
Yeah. So it's getting to that time where you got to pop the question, otherwise you're a piece of shit, right?
Yeah. I mean, either that or leave her.
Why don't we put it to a vote on Patreon? That's a good idea.
Let us know. That's something for the sealed section. I'll tell you if I'm going to marry Jesse or if I'm going to leave her and ruin her life.
That's fair. It's fair. Ruin her life. That's a big call.
I'm pretty good, mate.
I understand. Yeah, I feel for me, brother. Although apparently the brothers are doing good. The Butterfield boys. Apparently they're doing good out in town at the moment. I've heard some whispers.
According to who?
According to them. Apparently they're doing... Darcy's telling me, yeah, mate. Yeah. I said, how are you going with the girls? He goes, oh, mate, yeah. No, yeah.
Usually the blokes who say they're doing loads of rooting are the ones doing loads of rooting. That's generally been my experience. Yeah.
Well, mate, I see them out there and, you know, they're my little brothers, but I see Darcy... particularly, like I don't see too much of Jonas getting around. He's a little bit shorter, so you don't see him. You know, he's sort of sneaking around. But Darce, mate, he's a big, tall timber walking around. Look, he looks like Robert from Everybody Loves Raymond. He's just a big, weird-looking lurch human. Just an awkward unit, sort of like how I look. We're just like when we went out for the Buck Show, we're both on the D floor there, just lurching about, being big creeps. Well, I wasn't being a creep, but I look like a creep, and it's, mate, all the power to, I hope he does well. He'll hope he does well.
Women love tall dudes.
They do. And with a good sense of humor. Darcy's a very funny man.
Yeah.
I feel for young Jonas. He doesn't have a great sense of humor.
And he's short.
He is short. So, ladies, if you're listening, you're after short men with no sense of humor, he's your man.
Short, awkward blokes that aren't very funny.
We should get Joe and Darcy on the podcast.
It'd be a nice one for, yeah, like a milestone podcast. We'll get the brothers on and have
get
a
the
drink
two brothers.
Them.
Talk some shit.
You can just tee off on each other.
I like that. I actually really like that idea. That'd be good. That could be something we do. But yeah, I think you get to an age, you know, around 24, 25 or whatever, where you go, fuck, man, this going out every weekend is just not me.
Well, we said it. Over it. We said it on your Buck Show because that was the first time I'd been out in fucking. Like I go to music gigs every now and then around town, but I'll go to the gig and I'll go home. your Buck Show the other week was the first time I've been out to a pub past fucking 7 o'clock at night in a very long time, and it was exactly that. I was looking around going, "Fuck everyone here,
yeah.
Fuck this. I want a kebab and I want bed. Because we're old.
I cannot think of anything worse than sitting at a fucking pub or not being able to sit, even worse, waiting for a drink for all this time. Like, if it's a music gig and, you know, there's an artist playing that you really like, cool, go for it.
Or going to watch a game of footy. Like, I do enjoy, like, if there's an event. But just going out, like, just going out for the sake, those days are long gone, Isaac. We're done.
I cannot fathom doing that every weekend.
Oh.
It doesn't. Like back in the day, like I remember we used to come home and the best man at the wedding, TC, Taylor.
What a man.
Great man. Good looking man.
I still haven't paid for me races yet, eh? I'm just joking. I knew you'd fucking.
Pay the man. I know he's got heaps of cash, but pay the man.
Has he? I didn't know that. That's good.
Oh, he's loaded.
I won't pay him yet.
And fucking, mate, we'd get home, you know, to our respective houses or we'd be in the cab. And go, fuck this. I'm never going out again. All the chicks in Newcastle suck. No one's good. They're all fucked. And just blame everyone else but ourselves for having no game.
Yeah. Generally, that's the right way to do it. It's everyone else's problem, not ours.
But how do you even have game as a man? Like, what are you supposed to do? Okay, here we go. This is what we can do for the people out there who are single, young dudes or old dudes, if you want to be that weird guy at a club. What can you do on the dance floor? I feel that dancing next to chicks is not the move.
Nah, I'm just trying to think of, like, and you can do the same thing. Like, think of the blokes you know who over the years done the most rooting, like the top shaggers, and then just what have they got in common? So, like, I know the guys I know that do the most fucking, they're generally pretty quiet, actually. Like, right. they're the opposite of guys like you and I. They're not big loudmouths trying to be funny all the time. They just sort of plot away in the background, and obviously they're pretty good looking as well, which helps, but
they don't
say a lot. Like the two that I'm thinking of at the moment, we're not going to name names, but they've forgotten about more roots than you and I have had, those sort of numbers. And yeah, they're just sort of quiet. They just sort of sit there and sit back and watch. And then, I've never seen them go after girls, to be fair. I've seen plenty of girls come to them. So, yeah.
There was a few times in my single days where a girl would actually approach me, and it is always an incredible moment. You're like, what? What do you mean?
Especially when it's your stepsister.
Oh, that's the fucking big stiffy moments. But actually, I met Claire at a McDonald's after a big night on the piss. And
that's outstanding.
On the weekend, we're going to go there and get a photo in our wedding attire.
Was it the one on King Street?
King Street Maccas, bro.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're going to get a photo there, which I think is going to be beautiful. But
that's great.
For the blokes that I know that did the most rooting, this was their game. Their game was the long game, the last ones to leave.
Yeah.
And one of my mates with a very French sounding name, he was always the last to leave, and it just seems like persistence is key.
Yeah,
being there.
Yeah, persistence beats resistance, mate. And
he always had consent. I'm not saying he doesn't have consent, but
well, it's an old saying, but they say 100 no's and one yes is still a yes.
Exactly. So that is the way you want to meet a woman, guys out there. Is not, you know, get consent. You have to have consent. We're not saying anything against it. Consent is important, no doubt. But you might get a no at the start. You might get like people who call you on the telephone. They might get a lot of no's. But if you just give up, you're never gonna end up in life with a root if you just give up. You need to be chasing tail constantly. Never give up. Always putting in 110%. You might get 1,000 no's, but you will get one yes, ladies and gentlemen. And that is why this podcast exists, to give you the confidence to go out there and get that yes.
That's what it's about. Fuck, I'm fired up, man. Maybe it's a good time to go to the Patreon right now. I'm fucking fired up.
Right, we're going to the Patreon. Fuck yous. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're not a part of the Patreon, you need to join it to get the sealed section, all right? At an hour, every single week, we change over to the Patreon to talk about what we really want to talk about, because there's some things you can't put on Spotify and all that type of fucking bullshit. So it costs you a dollar. Head over to the link is down below. It's Patreon/IsaacButterfield. Or you can just go and search that. If you search it on Google, it'll take you right there. Bluey, is there anything you'd like to say to the great people? You should also go to the Daily Blue. Hilarious.
Yeah, do that. But more importantly, I love everyone.
I love everyone too. Let me quickly just give out a quick little Daily Blue post from this week.
Exclusive.
And this is why you should follow the Daily Blue.
Is this the one you sent me?
No. Did you actually post that?
No. I did. What time is it? Yeah, no, there's time. After we do our Patreon, I'll get to work. I've got a couple
of
things.
All right. This is a good one. I like this one. It was about weddings. I thought it was funny. Big unit at wedding intercepts every hors d'oeuvre.
Yeah, that'll be me at your wedding. No one's getting past me.
That's what I thought. A State of Origin one. Burton hits orbit with Torpy.
Yeah, he did hit orbit.
Elon Musk was the reporter there. That's interesting.
Yeah, actually, I should do one about Elon's dad too.
Yeah. Mrs. hits Insta feed after digging the heels in on Netflix selection. That's very funny.
Does Cleary ever do that?
No, I'm the one that does that.
Yeah, it does my fucking head in.
You don't do that, or Jesse does that?
Jesse does it. So we'll be sitting down to watch something, and every one of my suggestions sucks, apparently. So yeah. I'll just concede like a bitch and go, no worries, darling, we'll put on what you want to put on. So she'll put something on that I fucking hate, and then I'll look over and she's not even watching it. She's on her phone. I'm like, what the fuck was that about? Like, you're not even watching it. So, yeah.
Go and check out the Daily Blue. It's good times. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you next week, or head over to the Patreon right now and check it out. I hear him chat to the noise, move too quick, can't stop for the talking. I hear him chat with the boys, man's so tough, but minds keep walking.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.